This is the Loud Pedal Podcast, talking all things supercars with your host, Chris Stubbs.
Hello, welcome to the Loud Pedal Podcast. I'm Chris Stubbs. Great to have your company. Of course, brought to you by Super Cheap Auto once again. And joining me is our co-host of the stars, Lee Holdsworth. How are you, mate?
Stubbsy, going well, mate. How are you?
Very well. Thanks for joining us again. We haven't scared you off yet.
Not yet. Actually, I reckon you might have helped me out before the last round.
Well, I was going to suggest that, but you did have a good weekend in Darwin. It was good to see. And taking a swig from his coffee cup, David Reynolds, welcome back, mate. How are you?
G'day. Good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, really well, thanks, mate. Really,
it's green
really
tea
well.
As well.
Sure. Yeah, me too.
So I bought this tea. This is off topic, but how much do you think like a 100-gram bag of green tea is at T2?
Oh, man. $15?
$49. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Ah, yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Good. Is it legal?
That'd be nothing to you, though, on your sort of deal that you're on.
Well, it's green, so is that legal these days? I don't know.
Not sure. We'll come to your hospitality tent in Townsville. We'll find out.
All right. Cool.
Hey, Lee, great weekend. Well done.
Enjoyed it, mate. Up there? It was good, yeah. Yeah, enjoyed the sunshine. Loved getting away from Melbourne for a bit. It was good. We had the best weekend so far this year with consistency and, continuing to build on what we're sort of achieving each round. So that's good. I'm feeling more comfortable in the car and more familiar with everything. So bring on Townsville.
Mate, you were making headlines too this week. The biggest mover in 2019, up 11 spots inside the top 10 now.
Yeah, it's not bad, is it? it definitely shows me I made the right move. obviously shows what I had last year.
What was that?
Some would say a shit box. so it's nice to, you know, obviously be in a competitive team and be pushing for top tens every time we get out there and hopefully pushing for podium soon.
Well, that's the next step, Dave Reynolds. You had two of them on the weekend. Well done. The best of the rest now.
Thank you.
Yeah. Championship. Nice job.
Oh, no, it's going all right for me, isn't it? Business is booming.
Just got to get rid of those two red rockets, eh?
Yeah, I know. Just get rid of those two front people and it'd be a great series. Wouldn't be so boring. It's kind of like F1, you know, the Mercedes win and then the rest happens.
I was going to say exactly the same. It is definitely like they're the Mercedes F1 team supercars at the moment. They're just untouchable.
Is it bad for the sport?
They have F1 cars, don't they? And we've got supercars. I think that's what's going on.
Yeah, they just put a shell over the top of them.
is it bad for the sport?
Yeah.
Would you tune in knowing the result all the time?
I admire what they're doing and that Scott was able to pick up the triple crown, but if it continues for the rest of the year without seeing someone else on the top step, it's not great, I wouldn't have thought.
Exactly. I love F1, I'm a big F1 fan. I basically know who's going to win, but that's not the why I tune in. I tune in to find out who's going to be sort of 4th, 5th, 6th.
Yeah.
For me, that's the real fight in F1.
That's true. Yeah, there's a group of cars in F1, probably from 5th or 6th back, that are just separated by absolutely nothing. And that's where the racing is. That's what we want to watch. And Danny Ricciardo said it best after the Grand Prix, saying that it was just crazy that they didn't show them. So,
oh no, I was so gutted. Like they were about to like have the most epic battle. There was four cars going to the last lap, and old what was his face in the not Signs, the other Signs, the other guy,
Norris.
Norris, yeah, he was battling big time with drummers.
Chuck Norris,
and he was battling with drummers big time, and then everyone was catching him. It was all about to unfold, and then it looked like Leclerc was about to catch second, he was still a couple of seconds off, and they tuned into that. I was like, how disappointing.
Guys.
Yeah, so it's a bit like that at the moment in supercars, you know. It's third and back, and Dave's basically the best of the rest at the moment. So but from Dave onwards, it's very, very tight.
Very close.
And you look at the qualifying times, you know, they're closer than ever if you take, you know, DJR Penske out of it. But even if you take Scotty out of the mix, who is absolutely dominating at the moment, Then you've got Fabs, who people have, you know, been a bit critical of lately, but he's still nearly 200 points clear of Dave.
Me.
You know, and in terms of the team's championship, they're over 800 points in front of Red Bull. So they are certainly dominating. And I don't see anything changing in any, you know, in the short term.
No. Well, Dave, you were quite critical of parity. You made some comments at the start of the year. We enjoyed that, very outspoken. But there was the change to the Commodore in Darwin. Yes. So, Lee, you're going to return serve to Dave and make some complaints about the change to the Commodore?
Well, can I? This is my take of what happened. So, obviously, Ford have come out and they've made some, you know, low drag, you know, inverted quotes, changes to their car to make it more efficient down the straight, because that's the one place they were weak at. And they said they've come out and said they're not going to change anymore. So I think it's up to supercars now to try and change the rest of the other two cars, the Nissan and the Holden, to sort of bring them up to line if they're not going to change. And that's my take.
I think there's a difference between parity and dominance of the Penske cars. You know, I think, like we said, you take those cars out of it, those two cars, and the rest of the field, or more so Erebus, is doing a very good job, obviously, and Dave. And then you put the other Mustangs in the mix, who are all in the same team, you know, Tickford, and Tickford are doing a great job as well. And everyone's very close. So, you know, I think you can't dismiss the fact that Penske are doing an outstanding job and a better job than anyone else.
Okay. All right. Next year then, it leads us to all the talk in Darwin. It was about the future, the silly season, Chas Mostert. Guys, what did you make of his performance? I don't know if you saw him on Supercars trackside under the grill very much so from Jesse Yates.
Is that when Jess asked him yes or no question? Are you like, where are you going? He just battered off.
I think I saw his nose grow when he said no, that he hadn't spoken to anyone. I don't know. I mean, there's obviously... he's in a good position at the moment, obviously in a strong position with Tickford. He knows he's got an option there. I would say that Walkinshaw would be chasing him pretty hard. And then the Penske thing, I'm not sure whether there's a position there available at the moment. He's certainly, you know, probably trying to get his value up a bit. But there's no doubt there's chats going on.
this is a fun time to be like, to watch it all happen, I suppose, around you.
Well, you're part of it. How's it going for you? Are you having chats?
Well, what do you think? I'm part of it?
You're part of it. You're off contract.
Would I go to anywhere else? Where else would I go if I was, you know, champion?
Wouldn't you go to a Red Rocket?
Well, there's no seat there.
You'd come back to Tickford, surely.
100%. Well, in my position, I started with Erebus, like when they was Stone Mudless last, and we've got to a good point where it's very enjoyable going racing. We're making speed, and it's a lot of fun. Why would I change?
You off the table? You're not interested?
Unless someone's going to come and pay me like $1 million a year, I'm not going anywhere.
Penske have $1 million a year?
They could, but... I probably don't fit their mold. Like, I'm so different to how they act.
But really, why would Dave want to go anywhere? Unless there was a spot at DGR Penske, I don't think. I think Dave's found a good home at Erebus, from what I see. And you know, he's the best of the rest. Like we said, he's got, you know, a good strong teammate that's up and coming, and they seem to be gathering momentum. And but Dave, what do you feel that the team is in a position to take that next step and challenge DJR Penske for a championship?
Well, it's a good question, Lee.
Put you on the spot,
very
there,
good,
mate.
Very good question. Like, of course, I have to believe that it is possible with my own self, and then obviously with the people I have around me. The way the rules are now, I don't know. That's very, very difficult. It's they have to, like, for us to be, you know, within championship contention this year, they're going to have some shit rounds.
Yeah, that's true.
And, like,
that's true.
You know, I might pay off some back markers to take them out when they get enough. Really the only way that could go wrong for them.
But if you're re-signing then for next year and the year after, et cetera, do you believe that the future of Erebus, you can bridge that cap, if not this year, next year and forwards?
Well, it really depends on the category and the rules that are in play and, you know, what manufacturer I suppose we have, and you know, it's all kind of circumstantial in that regard. But,
yeah,
you know, I believe with the team I have now, yeah, of course we can win a championship. Definitely. So, last year was like we were in a position at the start to like be very, very close, and, you know, we had a few bad rounds and we fell off and stuff went wrong and that, but that's just learning as a team. You know, every time we fail, we learn from that and we come back, we try and come back better and stronger.
So when would you like to have your deal done to stay at Erebus then, if that's what you hope to do?
Oh, like last year would have been good. Yeah, then I can go to the bank and get a loan.
It seems like you guys have got a good thing going, and
it's a great team to be a part of. It's fun.
It is a good bunch of people, and you're certainly, I don't know, like it seems from the outside that you've got a lot of confidence in what you're doing. I've seen a huge step up in aggression, and that's really cool to see. So
I think you were at that team, weren't you? You know, yeah. What it was. You when were you with us? 2000. When were you there?
2012 was Stone Brothers, and then we changed to Erebus in 2013.
And you were only there for 1 year, weren't you?
2 years.
Two years.
So obviously it was a completely different
program.
Different program then, and probably a lot of different people because we're up in Queensland now, you guys are in Victoria. So
yeah.
But the culture in there was a really good one, and that probably stemmed from Erebus. So I think Barry Ryan's obviously doing a very good job, and you can see Betty's sort of taken a back seat now, and she's trusting in the people that she's got in the team. So, yeah, I think you're on a good thing. Do you see that Anton will be there next year as well? Or
mate, I don't know. I hear all this talk and chatter that, like, he's getting poached and all this stuff, but I don't know. I'll be honest, I don't talk to him about that stuff.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm like, what did you try and practice? Did you go faster? How's your Tinder profile going? That's all I care about.
What we do know at the team, there is a change coming for next year, and that is that, as we understand it, that Daniel and Barry Ryan will take over one of the recs as a share in one of the recs there. That's great reward to Barry. He's the heart and soul of that team in many ways, as Lee just said, really, really stepping up in that position, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. It's weird that Daniel has a partner because, you know, he's married to Betty, so wouldn't half be his anyway.
Already?
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's weird. No, but I think the whole idea of that was Barry wasn't allowed to go to any of the team owners' meetings because he wasn't a team owner. So Betty just made him a team owner effectively, so then he could go on her behalf as proxy or whatever. But now he's an actual team owner, so he can have say and buy into all the chat that goes on.
And if the team keeps going up, he keeps getting more cashola as the rec increases in value.
Well, that's up to the TV money, isn't it, that's coming up?
That deal is up at the end of next year. Don't try and turn it back on me. I'm not. Hey, what do you guys think about the suggestion that, I don't know if you were hearing it as well, at Darwin, is that Fabs is telling those closest to him he's 1,000% there next year. What about Scott then, and the idea that if he wins Bathurst, he could suddenly go to the States? Have you heard that? And do you think that you could put that into a contract that one race might decide your future?
Well, I don't think if he was wanting to go overseas and he didn't win Bathurst this year, and then an opportunity come up at the end of the year to move overseas and race, I think he would take that regardless, whether he's won Bathurst or not. You know, he's sorry, Lee.
Yeah, I think I've heard that as well, and I've heard, you know, Roger Penske has a bucket list, and Bathurst is on the bucket list. He's won the championship now, so it wouldn't surprise me if they win Bathurst that Scotty heads overseas, but at the same time, it'd be a very late call to then make that change and you know, everything be in place for him for next year to head over to the States. I would say it's premature. I would say if he wins Bathurst this year, then the door will be open for him to leave at the end of next year. But, yeah, I mean, obviously it changes everything. If Scotty heads overseas at the end of this year, it opens up a big door, possibly for someone like Chaz. Or Anton. That's true.
They do like Anton there.
Do they? But I would be nice surprised.
Haircut too.
He does fit that scene, doesn't he?
He does.
Yeah. Very does he tuck his shirt in?
No, not really.
He could, though.
Yeah, he could pull his socks up too.
He might want to delete that Tinder profile, though, if he's going to Pensy.
I don't think that's ever going to get deleted, mate.
but I do believe that Fabs, I reckon he'll stay. I have a feeling that, you know, Fabs is fairly locked in there. He's doing a good job. And like I said, he'd be leading the championship if Scotty wasn't there. So he's taken a big step forward.
And you don't want to be disrespectful to Fabs, but he's the perfect Robin to the Batman, isn't he? Like, he does everything right.
If they took on like another, like if they had Chaz and Scott, you know, fighting for the championship, as a fan of the sport, I'd like to actually see that race happen internally. But
it'd be a bit like Ricciardo and Vettel in the same team.
Yeah. It would Verstappen.
There'd be a lot of butting heads, I reckon.
That'd be good to watch, I reckon, because they've got quite a, you know, long history together when they raced at DVS together, and they always wanted to beat each other and whatnot. So, you know,
and their dads would be fighting out in the back, having
soccer mums going at it.
Yeah, that's it.
But like Fabian, they don't want to upset the apple cart. You know, Fabian, you know, he, even though he's second in the championship, he might be happy with second and not wanting to challenge. I don't know. You have to talk to him about that. But, you know, if I was coming second in the championship, I'd probably be stoked too.
Lee, what about you? You're off contract, or I believe so, although Tim in the team principal's presser said he had one off contract, being Chaz, and an option on the other two. When do you sit down? Have you sat down and discussed that, or at what point do you hope to find out what you're doing?
Look, I think by Bathurst I'll know the answer on where I'm at next year.
Sounds very familiar to me.
Yeah.
When I was at that team.
I guess they have to put their sponsorship deals together first and foremost for next year, and then the driver contracts come after that. So I think if I keep performing the way I am, then, you know, there'll be a spot for me in the team. I certainly hope so, because I'm really happy with where I'm at right now. It's taken me a long time to get back into a competitive team and a competitive environment and everything like that, and I'm loving every minute of it. So, moving forward, I just need to put my head down and keep getting results.
What about Walkinshaw? I understand that they're keen on Chaz as well, and have certainly put inquiries in there. Guys, do you think that's an attractive team to go to? Where are they at in the grander scheme of things at the moment?
Well, for Chaz, I think it could be a very opportunistic deal for him. He's obviously been where he is at ProDrive, or what are they called, Tickford, since probably 2011 or 12. Like, I started there in 2012, and he was already at that team, so he's been at that team for a very long time. So for him, he might have had enough of that team and wants to go challenge himself somewhere else and take on a bigger project and try and, you know, help out Walkinshaw Racing. And probably on Walkinshaw Racing side, they would really like his, you know, enthusiasm, the way he drives the car, his profile. Like, he, you know, he's got a big future. He's still got a big future, and if he goes to that team, he could build it up into his own team and be, you know, one of the, you know, as long as they at this time as a driver, most teams try and see the dream, and it's just whether they deliver, you know, the world or an Atlas. I'm not really sure. It plays out in a couple of years.
Yeah, I agree. But I think that Walkinshaw would not be a bad option. I mean, you know, having the backing from Andretti and Zach Brown,
definitely,
you know, says that they're not just going to sit back. They're going to be pushing as hard as they can. A little bit like McLaren in F1 at the moment. You know, they've gone through a bit of a lull. They seem to be on the comeback now, and that's what they're trying to do, obviously, in supercars. Yeah, I think that they're in a hard position at the moment because they're in a rut. They're searching for a new direction, no doubt, but it can be very difficult to dig yourself out. And, you know, with the lack of testing and that sort of thing, it's very, very hard to get on top of it and get the thing back into a window. What I think they need to do is they probably need some more knowledge in engineering, you know, to get them back on track sooner rather than later. And I'm guessing that's going on in the background now, and it's probably partly the reason why they're chasing Chaz, why we think they would be chasing Chaz, because, you know, there's a possibility. We all know Chaz has a very good relationship with his engineer,
Adam DeBore.
And Adam's a very smart bloke. So, you know, if Chaz goes there and he takes Adam with him, then, you know, that would turn the team around pretty quickly.
And I guess there's also his overseas ambitions too, because as I understand it, Penske, you drive for him or you don't. There wouldn't be any BMW GT3. There'd be none of that stuff. Whereas my take on Andretti Zach Brown is that would be embraced, that he would probably be able to do other categories and other things. Is that the way you guys would see that?
McLaughlin's done other things while he's been racing for Penske, so I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Yeah, but perhaps not to the level, though, that like the amount and commitment that Chaz has been taking.
BMW have gone on the record and said they want him, haven't they?
Yeah. So, yep.
You know, that'd be pretty cool to race for, you know, BMW factory driver, fly around the world and do all that stuff. But
I don't see it happening.
No.
Not at races that clash anyway.
Chaz finds it hard to leave Sanctuary Cove or Runaway Bay or whatever it is, so I'm not sure if he's going to go fly around the world. They don't sell Bundy overseas.
That's it. Yeah, I think that Chaz obviously loves his racing, so he wants to get in every seat he can get in. I think, you know, he even showed interest in being involved in the new, what's it called, the new touring car series that we've got here.
TCR.
You know, so I would say that he'd be looking for a bit more freedom in his next contract, whether that's with Tickford or Walkinshaw or wherever. You know, that's what I reckon will be on the cards for him and play a pretty important role. But I don't see him going overseas and doing BMW unless they're one-off sort of drives like he's been doing.
All right. Do you get rid of Pye or Courtney to make room for him?
That's putting us on the spot there.
I know.
Yeah, it is.
I really don't know. I mean, those guys, you know, they're fairly equal at the moment. I don't know who's got the championship. I think 14th and 17th, something like that. I think Courtney's 14th, or he might be 15th. Anyway, they're around that area, and I think Courtney's leading Pye. So, I'm not too sure. I mean, I think Pye comes with some backing, whereas I'm not sure about Courtney. So, whether that makes a part of the influence in the decision, I'm not sure.
James is 14th in the championship. Scott is 16th in the championship, and they're separated by 120 points or something. So, you know, there's a race there. But, you know, they've invested a lot of money in James. I don't really speculating, but allegedly he comes with he's really close with the mega people or something like that. So he might have half brokered that deal as well. So it's a funny time for them. So they got two competent drivers, and if you know Chaz comes into the mold, into the fold, it's a very hard decision to make.
Yeah, big call, Jason. Of course,
could we see them going to the three car team?
It's not generally very sustainable, is it, financially, to go to three?
No, it's not, but they have in the past.
Yeah.
So, you know, and there's plenty of wrecks around. So who knows? True. I mean, it obviously needs to, you know, even Roland Dane was going to continue a three-car operation, but, you know, I think they need big money to run that third car. Yeah. So if the numbers stack up, then, you know, it makes sense.
Yeah. And then obviously there's Camaro as a potential carrot that could be being dangled to Chaz as well if they are able to bring that in as they want to.
Yeah, obviously supercars have to change the ruling on that for them to bring it in, and that's probably a long-term goal, not a short-term sort of thing that's going to happen. For myself, being a Holden driver, I wish they could bring it in ASAP, like as in Townsville. That'd be cool. otherwise, you know, the ZB's good. It's good, but... Yeah.
The chance to start again on a whole new car would be pretty attractive, wouldn't it?
Yeah. The percentages of winning, you know, Holden this year are, I think it's 4% or 5% or something. It's not much. I think
percentage of Ford anyone of else winning apart from Penske?
Ford have won 93 or 4% or something this year.
They got some good drivers.
Got fast cars.
but take Penske out of it, and who else has won? Chaz has won a race and Shane's won a race, hasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, correct.
So one of these.
If you want to win in motorsport, you've got to build a better car than everyone else. That's bloody simple.
That's right.
But it's bloody that hard too.
What about tyres, guys? Dunlop have inked a new 5-year deal. That's set to be announced soon with the category.
Great.
Good. You happy?
Well, yeah, as long as they give us tyres that actually wear out, like fast. I reckon if we want to see better racing, we need a lot more degradation. Like, remember when the soft tyre first came in, Lee, it was like super fast and then super shithouse. It was terrible. And it was hard to manage. It just mixed up the racing so crazy that it was fun to be a part of. You never knew who was going to win.
100%. I completely agree. I think, you know, it's great to have Dunlop supporting us again, especially for a 5-year deal. But, yeah, like Dave said, and this is where I think we've lost the plot a bit, or motorsport in general and throughout the world has lost the plot a little bit in thinking that taking aero away, you know, whatever it is, that it's going to improve racing. Tyres are where it improves racing and degradation. And as Dave said, when that tyre came out, I forget what year it was, 09 or 08 or something like
09,
that.
09, I think it was, yeah.
Super, super soft, grippy tyre. You couldn't drive it hard enough for one lap.
Yeah.
But if you drive it like that in the race, you are going to be a sitting duck by lap 5, you know.
I remember at Winton, I qualified like 5th or something. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get a good result. This was in 2011 at the Kelly Racing Car. And I think by the end of the race, I think my first lap might have been a 23 something. By the end of the race, I was doing 28s, and I come.
Yeah.
I basically everyone passed me, and I come like 25th out of 26 or something. It was just the worst day of my life. I still remember that going.
But how good was it? I mean, you could drive. I remember Caruso was my teammate at the time, and you know. I remember we both always started around the same, qualified around the same area. And I think there was one race where he drove past me on the first couple of laps and I thought,
I'll see you later.
I'll see you in another 4 laps, buddy. And sure enough, 4 laps later, he's struggling big time. So there was more driving involved because a lot more of it comes down to the driver. These days, at the moment, with the tyres we've got, so much of it is car, and if you don't have the car, then you've got no shot at all. So,
and also, I think it's the track surfaces that they're building as well. They're a lot grippier. They're not so abrasive. Like back in the day, they used to be super, super abrasive, which used to tear up the tyre more. But now they've gone to this macro smooth, micro smooth, surface. It's like super smooth, and you didn't get a lot of deg from it. So, you know, they need a tyre to actually tear itself to pieces.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I mean, with all the new tracks they're building, they're all fast-flowing tracks that don't encourage – well, they don't promote racing because there is an element of, you know, obviously the aero thing.
Yeah, but if they reduce that, it will be better. Like you can follow a bit easier.
That's the easy fix.
So difficult.
Yeah. The easy fix is the tyre. But all the newest tracks around the world, including Formula One tracks, they're building these fast flowing things that you know they're going to have no shot of having close racing around because you know the faster you go, the more the field spread out, and the harder it is to follow through corners. Yeah. So you need big braking zones, you need sharp corners, and like you need a tyre that degrades very quickly.
Like street tracks, we still see the best races on street tracks, I think.
That's right, yeah. And look at Barbagallo as well. You know, it's not the most exciting circuit. And even, you know, Sandown as well, where this – well, the old surface at Perth was so abrasive that
it was crazy, you know, to drive on. Hey,
the track was unbelievable, and it was all because the difference in lap times in speed between cars on different tyre life.
But like, remember, like back in the day, you know, so now we've gone to Barbagallo and we've had like the brand new surface and the old terrible buggered surface. And when we used to drive on the buggered surface, we used to go, "Gee, this track is just shit to drive on. It's you know." Like it just wears the tires out. It's just terrible. And now we've got the now we're driven on the new surface. We're like, I kind of prefer the old surface. It's weird.
Yeah, because you guys are never happy.
We're never happy. We whinge a lot. Just like you, journos.
Hey. Lee, you mentioned something in there. The name Caruso. Robbo is back.
He's back.
Filling in for Richie Sanaway. So we send our best to Richie. That's getting pretty nasty, that neck injury. No one wants to be missing out on seat time. Caruso, you're happy with that? Good of Tickford to allow him. But in terms of him being a co-driver, you're okay with that, with him being allowed to have an extra race, as we've seen Pithler as well?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, well, certainly for Caruso, it's really cool for him. You know, I think his career fell short of where it should have last year, and he deserved a seat this year. So, to have him back in a seat is really cool. And I think where GRM are at the moment, they actually need this. They need this to show where their cars are actually at, because you know, let's face it, you know, Golding hasn't been running up the front. Stanaway hasn't been running up the front. Pithler stepped in, did a reasonable job. And last year, it wasn't long ago that they had Tander, you know, running the thing in the 10. Yeah. So, and on the podium every now and then. So it'll be good to, you know, to show where these cars are at. And I think they're at a stage now where they need to show some speed and need to have some help to steer this thing in a better direction. I think Caruso will be able to do that. So, but in terms of having him in there, and also having him at Tickford as a co-driver with Cam, yeah, I don't see it as well. It's only an upside for Cam. It's you know, he's only allowed to do one or two events, I think.
It's not like he was lacking in experience anyway, so
yeah,
that's right.
It's just really cool for him to do a full time round and feel part of the championship again, and maybe actually help GRM get their cars up to speed a bit more. But you know, it's you know, he's a very good competitor, a very fast driver. So you know, it's a win win for Gary, and it's a win for him as well.
So, and obviously a win for Tickford, as Lee was saying. So Lee's always going to be happy with it. But Dave, as a
he's not
opponent,
in my car.
No, but in your family. But Dave, you're totally cool with co-drivers picking up extra rounds where needed.
Sorry, I've missed all that.
You brought a bug back from Darwin. You're okay with it? Totally okay in terms of being an opponent and seeing guys getting extra rounds, no problems,
mate,
where needed.
I couldn't care less who's in that car, but. I spoke to Richie this morning, and he reckons he'll be back next round. So
good.
He thinks he's on the mend.
Fingers crossed. Calendar was set to be announced at Townsville. I don't know how much you guys as drivers care about it, whether you have massive interest or you just take what you're given, but I believe it won't be confirmed yet at Townsville. Talon Bend, Sam, last year talking to him, he said he wanted that track to be an enduro. And it looks like that might happen next year. What do you think about that?
Really?
Mm.
I don't know. But does that mean it's an extra round of enduro? So there's four, or is
no?
We have to get rid of Sandown.
That's the suggestion. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh damn! I like Sandown, but I also like Sandown's Bend. Cool. I like Talon Bend. It's a great track, but I love Sandown too. So
yeah, I think the writing's been on the wall now. for Sandown, yeah. You know, to lose Sandown. But yeah, I would prefer it to stay at Sandown. But
didn't the government just pay a whole stack of money to keep it at Sandown? Isn't that correct?
Well, there's the housing development that keeps having hold-ups and delays at Sandown for whether that's going to be a long-term venue or not. So they're keeping it ticking over at the moment. But yeah, in terms of Tailem Bend, clearly it's, we always talk about it being the European-style track. If you went on the long track for an enduro or something, what could you see that working and being a bit of fun?
The long tracks are super long, like super, super, super long. It is.
We'll catch you 5 minutes later.
Yeah, it's probably too
Didn't
long.
You get lost?
Mate, I got lost 3 times in my first lap there, and well, like, in my whole first like day there, I got lost every time I went out. I'm like, oh, I think it's the next bit. It's really, really hard to find out where you're going because it all looks pretty much the same. But as from a TV point of view, it's very, very hard to put cameras, you know, that over that much kilometers, so or that many kilometers. So it makes sense that to use the GP track or the one we raced at last year. It's a great track. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed driving there. It was fun. It's a good facility. It's you know, it's got everything going for it. But you know, Sandown has a lot of history, which I like. And the retro round this year is going to be pretty cool. It's the Penrite 500 sponsored plug there. nice.
You working on your outfit already? Are you?
No. I actually haven't really thought about it. I'm not sure. I might go as one of the Seekers or someone from Amber or some shit like that.
Judith Durham.
Yeah, something stupid. Is that it? I don't know.
But I think with Tailem Bend, the biggest drama is where you're going to fit. Where's everyone going to stay? You know,
houseboats.
Unless they've built
houseboats.
That's where we stayed last year. Yeah, I mean they struggled with accommodation last year. If you have an enduro there and you don't have one at Sandown, obviously a lot of people are going to make the trek over. Mm. So yeah, whether they'll have enough, you know, camping facilities or whatever to fit everyone in, I think it'd be pretty cool as an enduro. It's a track where, you know, you can make mistakes, so there'll be some big offs there in an enduro. Yeah, it'll be interesting.
All right. Which Victorian tracks, it appears we're going to drop down to 14. Sydney will come back as a night race. Might even be two tracks, Winton and Phillip Island on the chopping
on the
board.
Boil.
Yeah,
really,
what,
on the
what do you reckon? If you had to pick one or even both, how do you feel about losing those guys as venues?
It does suck when you've got to not go to tracks that you enjoy driving. Like, I like driving Phillip Island. I like driving away from Winton back home. That's fun. No, not really. I'm just joking. I don't mind Winton. I actually got a podium there this round, so I love it now.
You like it now.
Yeah, exactly.
Best place I've ever been. But, yeah, I don't know. If it's good for the sport, it's good for the sport. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
We do a few rounds of Victoria. We do a lot, so.
Yeah, we like it, being Victorians, but, yeah.
I think, unfortunately, you have to go with the track that's the most popular out of the two. If you were to choose between Phillip Island and Winton, and really we don't get many people down in Phillip Island
behind, yeah, I know.
To our round. Winton would be
the obvious choice.
It actually
gets a good feel and a good
– campgrounds and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, campgrounds cool. Pull out. Heartland like stuff. It's you get a good vibe going there. Even though it's freezing cold, it's actually a cool place to be. Like, there's a lot of fans that go there. A lot of people love it. A lot of like farming communities like in the rural area come around and watch supercars for the weekend. So, you know, if that gets chopped, I will be probably slightly disappointed in that regard.
And, of course, money will play a big role, I guess, in which one is the more profitable venture for supercars is unfortunately a necessary factor.
We should just go back to Calder.
Wow, the Thunderdome.
That'd be pretty cool.
They used to do a track. They used to do a track that used to use the part of the Thunderdome and then part of the racetrack. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did. That'd
back.
Be cool.
That'd be sick.
Did a hot lap there with Alex Davison. That's another story. Future of sport. We're expecting a bit of an update on this. We have touched on a little bit earlier on from Sean Seamer in Townsville. What do you want? We don't want to take up too much time. What do you want? Do you want control dampeners, aero, Dave, I think you referred to perhaps later, reducing aero. How do we do it? What do we do to future-proof the sport in the next year or two?
Probably all those things you spoke about.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we've got to keep our current fan base happy, but also attract new people. So it's a very, very hard space to play in. But when Sean sort of took over the reins of the organisation, he always used to say, we need wild drivers and milder fans. Right now it's the other way around. It's wild fans and mild drivers. So, you know, me and Lee should have a punch-up. No, not really.
Do it.
But we need to become a bit more outspoken and express our opinions more and not try and keep everyone happy. And, you know, it's for the greater good of the sport, even though we might secretly like each other behind the scenes, we might probably not try and show it in the public. I don't know. That's just
we should have heard what you two were calling each other before we pressed record on this podcast today.
What, RoboCop? You know, like when he takes his helmet off, he's got
no hair.
Yeah.
I think, you know, obviously cost reductions are a no-brainer. We have to do something. You just have to look at where the biggest costs are in this sport. And it's engine development, exhaust systems, shocks and uprights.
Aero, I think it's expenditure.
Yeah, there is a bit in that area, obviously. But I think the biggest costs are in those other areas at the moment. So, you know, we've been running these 5-litre engines for a long time now. We only get 3,500 K out of them before a rebuild. And that's unheard of in any other category, really. You know, that's crazy that we're spending that sort of money on them. So whether we go to a crate engine, a 6-litre engine, I don't know. But something has to be done there. They've got to fix a lot of the components in the engine as well because, you know, people are doing all sorts of stuff to them to make them lightweight, and I think Penske are doing it plenty in that area. Yeah. The shocks should be fixed. There's so much money and development spent on them, which is just unnecessary.
Most of the componentry that you put in the car, we spend a lot of time and effort developing, redeveloping, trying, testing, bench testing.
It's so much trial and error, and that's so why, you know, like how many times, Dave, have you put a new upright in that's meant to be the latest and greatest, and it's shocking.
Mate, to be honest, in the 4 years I've been in Erebus, we've only had one upright update. That's it.
I think it actually is.
People get lost in all that upright stuff, and
yeah,
you know, they do. It's just better to maximise what you have than try and reinvent the wheel.
Yeah, so why not freeze them now, freeze development, and then introduce a fixed upright starting next year?
Next year.
I think that's the way forward. And then, you know, it's really the problem with all this engineering is it's costing teams so much money, and it's a necessary cost at the moment because if you don't do it, then you're left behind.
Yep.
But the problem is you've got, you know, teams like Penske and Triple Eight, spending so much money in this area that, you know, it makes everyone have to look try silly. And catch up and look silly. And it's like, I think I've heard Tim Edwards say this, it's engineering masturbation. Yeah. Because it's really good for no one. It's good. It's not good for the sport. The fans aren't getting anything out of it. It's not making the racing any better. It's actually making it worse.
Yeah.
So, you know, the more that can be fixed, the closer the racing will be and the better it'll be. And obviously it'll help the team's budgets.
It was like when we were racing go-karts, remember, and then like a rich dad would come in and outspend everyone, probably like the Holdsworths used to do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. That's exactly what it's like.
But there's like, I just got sent something just then. Can I talk about it?
Yes, I think. We need to.
Someone within Supercars sent me this and said, this should not happen. And it says, the headline is, Junior Development Program to Replace Miss Supercars Contest.
That's no good.
Yeah, I know. We need Miss Supercars back. We need it.
And we might need a Mr. Supercars as well.
We can have that.
Yeah. Gender equality
for Simona's
provide car. To all at Supercars.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, moving away from that. Extending Saturday races. For me, it's a no-brainer. If you win the same amount of points and you pay the same amount of money to attend the racetrack, you should see the same amount of racing. Yay or nay?
Well, we've done this before. We used to have two 200 races, and then we went back to the shorter race because the 200 races were boring. And generally this year, the 120K races are way more exciting than the 200 races.
So do you bring them both back to 120? What do you do?
I actually like the mix-up of, you know, okay, a longer one and shorter one because, you know, brings in strategy. Always different. How you think about your car setup's quite slightly different. And, yeah, just I kind of like the mix-up of that. But really they can play around with formats all they want as long as if the tyres aren't wearing out,
yeah,
you know, generally where you qualify is where you finish.
Yep.
You know, they need to spice it up in that regard.
All right, we'll move it on because we're running out of time. BJR, they had a shocking weekend in Darwin, but in good news, it looks like they've set a world record this week. Macaulay Jones for the most burpees in an hour. 870 of the bastards beating their previous
best by 19. Was that punishment? Was that punishment for sticking in the fence?
Brad might have got into him and said, right, you got to do something.
That kid's a freak.
Yeah. He is actually. He's pretty fit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I'd even attempt to go one third.
What kind of world record would you guys go for if you could get in the Guinness Book of World Records? What would it be for?
Oh, man. I don't know. So many things come to mind that I can't talk about.
Go on. Go on. Say it.
The longest shower ever.
The longest shower.
Yeah,
right.
I don't have a long shower.
The longest route.
Right. Hello, Mrs. Holdsworth. Thank you for tuning in.
Nice range hood, by the way.
Thanks, mate.
Hold up. Looks good. Yeah.
It's a nice kitchen. Obviously, it's getting paid all right. No, but well done, Macca. So a shout out to that one.
Yeah, I know. But if I was like coaching Macca, I'd say probably less fitness, more racing.
more focusing on your driving skills.
Yeah.
Well, less skateboarding.
I was a young kid once, and I was like him, you know, really into fitness, and it actually half detracts from your primary job of racing because you end up buggered. You run yourself ragged between each race and you don't rest enough to try and make yourself the best. To come to the track the most prepared, in the best form, with the most energy to get through the weekend.
Well, Macca, weekends. We were trying to give you some praise, and you've just been shot down by Dave Reynolds. So.
Hey, no, I'm just saying, I've been at that, yeah, in that spectrum, all that, you know, that
you can certainly focus too much attitude on fitness. That's for sure.
And it detracts from what you need to do.
We saw you with your top off. You don't focus on your fitness anymore, Lee.
Nah, I just do my beach weights.
In our sport, it's better to carry a bit of fat.
Right. Okay.
There's no point being super skinny or super lean because, you know, the heat gets to you quick. You've got no reserve. You can't store as much water. And we're endurance athletes. You know, we need energy to last a long time. And you don't eat for sometimes 2 hours in the car, and you burn so much energy at a high rate and used a lot of water. You need to get the stores from somewhere. So being super efficient is good, but being super skinny, I don't think is good.
Are you still peeing in cups and testing it?
Sometimes, yes.
Occasionally, okay. Pit restrictions in Townsville. There's been a few changes coming in there. Again, cost reduction, etc. Some LED lights on cars, which we've seen before. I think that's getting rolled out again. I think that's just for show. I'm not really sure what information they're going to put in those. But anyway, keep your eye on it. It's something for Townsville. In general up there, we like it. Bit of a hybrid track, bit of fun.
Yeah, it's a cool track. It's a really challenging track. It's sort of half street circuit, half purpose-built racetrack. So it's not your typical street circuit, but it's got some big braking zones, which makes it great for passing, big curbs, chicanes, fast, bumpy. One place that you really need to hustle the car. It's very physical. So it's a cool track. You know, I got my first pole back there. It was the first Townsville race, actually.
2009.
Pole for that. 2009. So
I remember that. Yeah, that was cool.
It was really special. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just a
10 years ago, mate. 10 years ago this round. But yeah. I love that track. Like, it's one of those tracks, the first couple of laps, the track's not really in good condition. There's not a lot of grip out there, and it feels like you're going to crash every corner. It's just nuts.
What about at the end with all the loose rubber everywhere?
Oh, no, it's the best, isn't it?
Yeah.
it actually produces one of it's one of the hardest races to get through because you get no rest. You're constantly working. You're constantly thinking about having a shunt, and you're trying to keep the car off the fence. It's just nuts to be going flat out around there all the time.
I like
Caruso
the
actually had a big one there last year, didn't he? You remember?
With my teammate, Anton. Yeah, I know.
They had a
few. Maybe you might get him back.
Oh,
hey.
Yeah, that could be it. Yeah.
It's on. I like the after party. You guys been to the after parties at Townsville?
I used to attend them and ended up basically sleeping in the gutter most of the night. So yeah. I haven't really gone the last couple of years. I think the last time I went was 2012 or 13 or something. Okay. So yeah, but yeah, they always have good parties and heaps of people around. And yeah,
I got undressed by Fabian Coulthard and Mark Winterbottom on the.
What's that say about them?
Well, yeah, on the dance floor one year, but anyway, that's another story for another
day.
What
else they do to you?
Actually, you had some good stories about holding Christmas parties in the hotel foyer up in Darwin. Dave, do you want to repeat any of those stories when
me?
We bumped into Hilton lobby?
Mate, I'd like to bring them back. I want to bring the Holden.
Yeah, Dave and I were speaking about this. Yeah, was it last round or two rounds ago?
It's not the Holden party, so whoever wants to party.
That's all right. It's just the driver's party.
Sharing, yeah. Sharing.
Well, actually, we can invite you guys too. Media. Selected media. Selected media.
All right.
You got to give us your phones for the day.
Okay, yeah. I'll do that.
It was just a tradition within Holden Motorsport. Simon McNamara and Gerald McDorn. What's his last name? McDornan.
McDornan. He's over in the States at the moment.
He's a legend. Funniest dude ever. And they used to like organize these parties for us at the end of the year. And I only went to a couple of them, but I got handcuffed in one of them in 2011. For the whole day, they handcuffed me because I was going to Ford the next year. And it was just a smorsion of a day. It was a complete debacle. All you do is drink, eat and drink and play games and stuff. But I actually lost because they handcuffed me so tight for so long. I lost feeling in the first three fingers of my hand for 3 months.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I went to Adelaide still not being able to feel my thumb and
that's classic. All I remember, it's seriously dangerous but fun. Yeah, it's very exciting. It's an exciting day. But I remember one year, I remember being told by Alana that I had full conversation with the fridge when I got home.
No!
I did.
Yes.
And one of the best conversations you've probably had in a while too.
Oh, yeah. There wasn't much back chat.
Just you guys, pretty frosty reception, I would say.
Oh, yeah, very frosty reception.
Just you wait for the loud pedal after party at the end of the season, guys.
Can't wait.
It's going to go off. Gents, thank you. Thank you to Penrite Racing, Erebus Motorsport. Thank you to Tickford. Thank you to Bottle-O. Great job, guys. We always appreciate your time. I will just rattle through the championship standings so you know where you're at and what you're chasing.
I think we know, Ace. You don't have to say it.
Scotty McLaughlin, Fabian Coulthard, the gap there, 3:19. Reynolds is the podium position at the moment, 4:59
back. What's the gap,
back. You are 4:59 back, so that's all right.
That's nearly...
Enduros to come.
Yeah, it's a lot, though. Like,
it is. It's a round and a half, but that's okay. It's okay. It's better than being further down. Mostert, Van Gisbergen, Wincup, Waters, Percat, who's next? Davison, and then Lee Holdsworth rounds out the top 10. Hey, gents, thanks for your time.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, mate.
Don't forget, everyone that's listening in, you should subscribe so you don't miss a minute of the action. Super Cheap Auto, if you find a better price online or in another store, let them know. Super Cheap Auto, they're cheaper or they'll beat it. Visit your local store or shop online at supercheapauto.com.au. Lee, go and talk to the fridge.
All right, no dramas. It'll be a bit more intelligent than last time, I reckon.
Cheers, boys.
Oh, thanks. Cheers.
Good job.
Fantastic, guys.